Welcome to Family Talk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And last time, we enjoyed the first part of a program titled A Marriage Made in Heaven. I don't know if you've noticed, but our culture places very little value on marriage these days. Oh, sure, there are lots of shows about big celebrity weddings and finding that certain someone to love. But there's not much out there that honors and affirms the beauty of two people committed to each other for a lifetime. It's no wonder the divorce rates continue to rise, that marriages continue to fall apart, and that families in this country, and around the world for that matter, are destroyed by the thousands every year. So we're going to spend another day affirming the beauty of a relationship that's already lasted for over 50 years, and it's still going strong. As I mentioned last time, we receive thousands of requests each year from couples who are wondering, what is the secret for building a marriage that will stand the test of time? As you probably already know, here at Family Talk, we offer lots of resources that outline in detail the tools and commitment it takes to build a relationship that will last until death do us part. But sometimes tools and resources just aren't enough. Sometimes it's better for all of us to hear the story how a loving couple has lived out these principles in their life together. Last time, we heard Dr. Dobson share the amazing story of his relationship with Shirley, a relationship, as I said, that's lasted for over 50 years. Today, Dr. Dobson kicks off the program as well. We're going to pick up with him reading a letter he wrote to Shirley over 20 years ago. And then after he's done, he'll hand the microphone over to Shirley Dobson, and she'll share her perspective on the qualities and character that it takes to build a marriage that lasts. The Dobsons are both multi-best-selling authors and internationally known speakers, and I could use an entire program just to outline the many achievements and accolades they've both received. They've also written several books on marriage together, including Nightlight, a devotional for married couples. But I think if you ask them what is the achievement that they are both most proud of, I'm pretty sure they would look each other in the eyes, smile, and say it was marrying each other over 50 years ago. The message you're about to hear was recorded on Dr. Dobson's final chapel and his last day at Focus on the Family before he started this ministry that you're listening to now. Here now is Dr. James Dobson and his wife Shirley on today's edition of Family Talk.
You have become me, and I've become you. We're inseparable. I've now spent 46% of my life with you, and I can't even remember much of the first 54. Not one of the experiences I've listed can be comprehended by anyone but the woman who lived through them with me. Those days are gone, but the aroma lingers on in our minds. And with every event during these 21 years, now 50, our lives have become more intertwined, blending eventually into this incredible affection that I bear for you today. Is it any wonder that I can read your face like a book? When we're in a crowd, the slightest narrowing of your eyes speaks volumes to me about the thoughts that are running through your conscious experience. As you open Christmas presents, I know instantly if you like the color or style of the gift, because your feelings cannot be hidden from me. I love you, SMD. Remember the monogram shirt? I love the girl who believed in me before I believed in myself. I love the girl who never complained about huge school bills and books and hot apartments and rented junky furniture and no vacations and humble little Volkswagens. You have been with me, encouraging me, loving me, and supporting me since August 27th, 1960. And the status that you've given me in our home is beyond what I have deserved. So why do I want to go on living? It's because I have you to make the journey with. Otherwise, why take the trip? The half-life that lies ahead promises to be tougher than the years behind us. It's in the nature of things that my mom will someday join my father, and then she will be laid to rest beside him in Olathe, Kansas, which has occurred, overlooking a windswept hill from whence he walked with Benji and recorded a cassette tape for me describing the beauty of that spot. Then we'll have to say goodbye to your mom and dad. Gone will be the table games we played and the ping pong and the lawn darts and Joe's laughter and Alma's wonderful ham dinners and her underlined birthday cards and the little yellow house in Long Beach. Everything within me screams no, but my dad's final prayer is still valid. We know it can't always be the way it is now. When the time comes, our childhoods will then be severed and cut off by the passing of the beloved parents who bore us. What then, my sweet wife? To whom will I turn for solace and comfort? To whom can I say I'm hurting and know that I'm understood in more than an abstract manner? To whom can I turn when the summer leaves begin to change colors and fall to the ground? How much, you all have to forgive me, how much have I enjoyed the springtime and the warmth of the summer sun? The flowers and the green grass and the blue sky and the clear streams have been savored to their fullest. But alas, autumn is coming. Even now I can feel a little nip in the air, and I try not to look at a distant lone cloud that passes near the horizon. I must face the fact that winter lies ahead with its ice and sleet and snow to pierce us through. But in this instance, winter will not be followed by springtime except in the glory of the life to come. With whom then will I spend that final season of my life? None but you, Sheryls. The only joy of the future will be in experiencing it as we have the last 21 years, hand in hand with the one I love, a young miss named Shirley Deer, who gave me everything she had, including her heart. Thank you, Sheryls, for making this journey with me. Let's finish it together. I apologize. I did not expect that to happen to me. But it sort of fits with the emotion of where we are today. I love you all. I'm grateful for the time we've spent together. And the end is not yet. And I want to ask Shirley to come. I don't know how she's going to follow that. Would you welcome her today?
Hard to follow, Jim. That was a very special weekend, and I'll never forget it. Well, this is quite a historic moment. 33 years of ministry, and today being the last day here at Focus on the Family, it just seems surreal. And Jim said earlier that he'd been doing a lot of thinking about what he should talk about today, and I also have been doing a lot of thinking about it. And I could have gone in a lot of different directions today with my remarks, but I just was recalling all the times that my husband has shown such love and respect to me publicly as he has today. and also on the radio. And I just wanted today to pay tribute and honor to the man that I will have spent 50 years with August 27th of this year. I met Jim when I was a sophomore in college, and he was a tall, blonde Texan and captain of the tennis team. And I'd had my eye on him for some time, and I was hoping there was going to be a way that we could meet. And I had seen him buzzing around campus. He had this old red Mercury convertible, and I would see him, you know, all around campus, and he always had a big load of girls in the car. And they were laughing, and their hair was blowing in the wind. And I thought, you know, I think Jim is pretty wild. But he also looked like, you know, that he was having a lot of fun. So later on when I got to know him, the thing that I really loved about him is I had such a good time with him. He had a great sense of humor, and he would just make me laugh so hard. And after we were on a date one night, he brought me back to the dorm, and we were sitting out there talking, and I told him that I was the head cheerleader in my high school. He said, "Oh, you were." He said, "Can you still do any of the routines?" I said, "Sure." So he said, "Well, let me see one." So I got out of the car, and I walked to the middle of the street. It was 11 o'clock at night. There were no cars, and I began my cheerleading. I said, "Go back. Go back. Go back to the woods. You haven't. You haven't. You haven't got the goods." Well, I came to the grand finale. I leaped up in the air, curled my legs under me, and when I came down, my knees totally buckled. Planted my face in the asphalt. Bloody knees and all. And Jim just was bent over. He was howling. He thought that was so funny. And I thought it was funny too, and so we just both ended up just bent over in laughter. I fell in love with Jim long before he fell in love with me. And right away I noticed qualities about him that I really admired. He was self-confident, and he had a powerful sense of direction and seemed to really know where he was going. He said he intended to get a PhD from a major university, and then he was going to be a Christian psychologist in private practice. I knew he had the brains, determination, and discipline to achieve those goals. Other guys would tell me about their lofty dreams. They were going to be a doctor, they were going to be a lawyer, or their plans were really vague, and I didn't really believe their spin. But Jim, there was something about Jim, I knew that he was headed somewhere, and I knew that he meant it. I saw his talent for writing in those days, and I loved the little romantic notes and things that he did for me. One night, he took me back to the dorm, and about an hour later, one of the girls knocked on my door, and she said, "Here's a Coca-Cola from Jim." And when I popped open the lid, he had written a little love note, and it was curled in the neck of the Coca-Cola. And I thought that was so creative. And all the girls, I'm not kidding, the girls in my dorm are really jealous of all the creative, romantic things that Jim did. I also noticed that he was a man of sterling character. He felt very strongly about all the moral issues. To this day, I don't think very many of us can say this about anybody or ourselves, but to this day, I have never known him to tell me or anyone a lie. I was a little bit more flexible about little white lies, if there is such a thing. For example, I would tell guys that I didn't want to go out with that asked me for a date, that I had a date, and things like that. And so I didn't think an awful lot about truthfulness. But after we were married, I found out just how strongly Jim felt about the truth. One day he asked me to make him a tuna sandwich. And those of you who know Jim Dobson real well know that he wouldn't touch mayonnaise with a 10-foot pole. He got sick on it when he was a little child, and he's never liked it ever since. Now, ladies, I want you to tell me, how do you hold a tuna sandwich together with chopped pickles and chopped onions if you don't put just a little mayonnaise in it. So, you know, tuna has a strong smell, so I thought, I'll just put a teaspoon of mayonnaise in here. He'll never know it. So I put the plate in front of him, and he said, "Shirley, did you put mayonnaise in this tuna salad?" I said, "Jim, I know you don't like mayonnaise." He probed a little further. He said, "Did you put mayonnaise in this tuna?" I said, "No." So we had our sandwich, and when I got up from the table, the Spirit of God just began hammering on my conscience. I was so troubled in my spirit that I had lied to him. The conviction grew heavier and heavier. I knew I had done wrong, and I felt terrible about it, and I asked the Lord to forgive me for telling my husband a lie. And then I knew I had to go and confess it to him and tell him what I'd done. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Surely a marriage is built on mutual trust. And if you lie about the little things, how can we trust one another about the big things?" He said, "Your lie was a little thing, but it has bigger implications for our relationship." And since then, since that time, I have tried to live my life by those principles of mutual trust and honesty. You know, I've discovered that sometimes it isn't easy living with a very good man. If one word would characterize Jim Dobson, it's the word integrity. He takes the positions he does not because they're popular, not because they're easy, not because they're politically correct, but because he believes it's the right thing to do. I know him to be a man of great courage and conviction, a man of great passion and compassion, and his dedication to Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of his life, and the Word of God his compass. Going back to our college days when we were engaged, HB's mother, which is Jim's aunt, said to me, "The Dobson men make great fathers and husbands," and she was right. I have said many times, of all God's kindnesses to me, giving me my husband has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. I have seen him in all kinds of situations. He is not one person on the radio and another one at home. He is who he is and who you hear him to be on the radio. He is a good and godly man. And I believe that is why God has blessed this ministry and blessed him, because of his life. There has never been a scandal at Focus on the Family. And someone said just this week, "We have never had to go to bed wondering if he was going to do something terribly wrong." And speaking personally, I have never had to worry in my 50 years of marriage to him that he was going to be unfaithful. For one reason, and he said this, if he ever did cross that line, I'd know it in 10 minutes. No, I'd know it in 2 minutes. As we leave for God's next assignment, I want to thank my many friends that have labored with us here at Focus on the Family. You are the best of the best, and I really mean that. We have been so blessed to have the friends that we have here and the employees. And to our beloved constituents, I want to thank you for your loyalty and support, but most of all for your prayers. You have openly shared your lives with us, and I would just like to close by reading a really quick letter from one of our constituents that we got not too long ago. She said, "Dear Dr. Dobson, I've been a listener of your broadcast for 19 years, but it has taken the announcement of your departure from Focus to inspire me to write. Because of you, Dr. Dobson, I had a Christian father figure who came into my home 4 times a day on KKLA. Your soothing voice brought wisdom with every broadcast. As a new believer in the early 1990s, as a newly married woman, and later as a mom. Because of you, Dr. Dobson, I began a homeschooling journey 18 years ago before it was popular or heard of. Because of you, Dr. Dobson, I was able to minister to my neighbor using your When God Doesn't Make Sense book. Her beloved toddler had just drowned in the Pacific Ocean, and she was searching for answers. Because of you, Dr. Dobson, my husband and I had tools to help our children along the uncertain path of puberty using your Preparing for Adolescence CDs and books. Because of you, Dr. Dobson, I had the opportunity to read Bringing Up Boys and gain a greater understanding regarding the needs of my sons, allowing them to get dirty, be active, and loud. Because of you, Dr. Dobson, I had the privilege of sitting at the feet of countless guests and learn about life, first and foremost, spiritually as well as socially, economically, physically, morally, mentally, and emotionally. Because of you, Dr. Dobson, our family is now on the scariest adventure of all, adoption. We are currently pursuing a special needs child from China between the age of 3 to 7 years old. You have to know that my husband and I are in our 40s. By faith, we move forward in obedience. Neither my husband nor I had spiritual mentors. Neither of us have family members who are saved. You can't imagine the challenges we face raising our children without a spiritually rich heritage. But listening to your broadcast has given us a virtual family, and I'm so grateful. Thank you to Shirley for her efforts with the National Day of Prayer and for unselfishly sharing you with millions of us. And we've gotten so many of those lovely cards and letters of encouragement, and thank you. And we just want you all to know out there in radio land, if this is played, how much we love you also. Jim and Jean, Jim and I will be praying for you as you take this ministry into the future. We pray that Focus on the Family will continue to flourish and be fruitful, and will ultimately continue pointing people to Jesus, which is the foundation of the home. And lastly, I want to give praise, honor, and blessing to our Lord Jesus Christ. For allowing us to be a small part of his work here on earth. We have witnessed his faithfulness again and again. We will be continuing in ministry just in a different part of God's vineyard. I leave you today, Jim and I both leave you today with Philippians 1:3. We thank our God upon every remembrance of you. And may God bless you, and may he bless us all. Thank you.
You can see why so many of our listeners tell us they can listen to this program over and over and over again. Not only is the story of the Dobsons' relationship so inspiring, but there are also so many powerful principles that all married folks can pull out and apply to their own marriages. Hearing the way they've honored and respected one another through the years makes it so clear why their marriage has lasted over 50 years. And I trust they've inspired many of you to follow in their footsteps. You've been listening to part two of a program titled A Marriage Made in Heaven, here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. This was recorded at the final chapel of Dr. Dobson's final day at Focus on the Family before they parted ways, and he started the ministry of Family Talk. If you're listening today and wondering what it takes to build a marriage that lasts a lifetime, we have lots of resources available for you. You can find a plethora of books and articles and programs on building healthy marriage by visiting our website, drjamesdobson.org, or calling us at 877-732-6825. We've also got a great smartphone app with lots and lots of resources right at your fingertips. And I would imagine there may be some folks out there who are realizing that their own marriages aren't that strong and maybe they're headed for divorce. Maybe you're worried that if you don't change something in your relationship soon, it's going to be too late. Well, we're here to help you. Call us. We can give you the information you need to find a counselor in your area who will meet with you and your spouse and help you find restoration and give you the tools you need to build a foundation for a marriage that will last over 50 years. Please call us now, 877-732-6825, or go online at drjamesdobson.org. And before we go, I also want to speak to the couple out there who thinks that their marriage is doing well. You've noticed that Dr. Dobson mentioned that he and Shirley have gone to several marriage conferences throughout their lifetime together. There have been many times in their relationship where they've purposely sought outside influence and counseling to manage their marriage well. The truth is, marriage counseling is not just for families who are on the brink of divorce. Counseling is just as important for a healthy couple as well. So again, if you'd like the information to find a counselor in your area, call us at 877-732-6825 or message us online at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks again for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you again next time, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.